In trying to decide what to talk on this afternoon, because Brian gave me the opportunity to have an open subject this afternoon, and yet trying to stay with our theme here, in researching the internet, I went back several years and found an old lesson that Paul Nichols had gave some 30 years ago that I thought would fit just real well here with the theme this afternoon. We're going to read for a text from Acts, the 20th chapter. And Paul is talking to them here before he leaves to go to Jerusalem. He's kind of putting things in order for when he's not going to be there to oversee them anymore. We're going to start in verse 18 with our reading. Acts 20, verse 18. And when they had come to him, he said unto them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with all tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, may see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not, and this is where we're going to the subject of our lesson here, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Our lesson this day is, "I will not cease to warn everyone." At this time, though, we wish to go to our Heavenly Father in the word of prayer. Paul, in the 20th chapter of Acts there, was reminding these people of his preaching and his teaching while he was working with them. He had come there to establish the church, and for 3 years he had taught them publicly and from house to house, continually making known to them the duties and responsibilities of being a Christian and warning them of the consequences of sin and unfaithfulness. He told them in verse 32 that he had not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God to them, and that he had kept back nothing that was profitable to them in verse 20. In short, he was a courageous and faithful servant of the Lord. Is this the only time that this is mentioned in the Bible? Well, the answer is no. We find Ezekiel in the Old Testament was the priest, and he was told by the Lord, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel." Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not the warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, and the righteous man sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. Ezekiel, the third chapter, verse 17 through 21. Now, Ezekiel could have put up the defense here. Well, you know, the people won't listen to me. They won't heed anything that I tell them. They're hard-hearted. They're not going to do what I say. But, you know, the Lord had precluded that statement in the preceding chapter. When in Ezekiel, the second chapter and the seventh verse, the Lord told Ezekiel, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. That warning should serve two purposes. One, it needs to make the person aware of the sin and of the consequence of it. Secondly, it would make Ezekiel free from the blood of those individuals that he warned. It was for the benefit not only of those that were being warned, but for the sake of the man who did the warning. Do we find examples in the New Testament? In 1 Thessalonians 2 and 4, it was the Apostle Paul that wrote to the Thessalonians and said, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who trieth our hearts. And he writes again to the Galatians, in Galatians 1 and 10, where he says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The apostle was a servant of the Lord, not a politician to the people. He was not interested in popularity. Paul was interested in the salvation of souls. He wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5 and 11, said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We're informed of this attitude in preaching the gospel when he writes again, therefore seeing we have the ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. When the apostle addressed the elders at Ephesus, he boldly asserted, I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. as we read in our text. And again, as I read in verse 31, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What were Paul's instructions to the preachers that were going out into the world? To Timothy, Paul wrote, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." 1 Timothy 4 and 6. And again in 1 Timothy 4 and 11, he says, "These things command and teach." To Titus, in Titus 2:15, he wrote, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority." And in Paul's last letter to Timothy, he wrote in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4, "Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And they will turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." He also predicted in 2 Timothy 3 and 4 that there's going to be a time come when people would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. If we look around us today, is that not the situation the world is in today? People are out all over everywhere right now seeking pleasure rather than seeking the Lord. And there's going to be a time that not all people are looking for the truth. You know, there was a time period in American history in the last couple of hundred years when there was a time when people wanted to know the truth. And there was a great revival in the religious movement. Not all of it was a good direction, but at least the interest was there. Not all of them found the truth, but a lot of them were looking for it. Matthew 5 and 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." But you know, not all men take kindly to instruction. Jesus was crucified for his teaching. John the Baptist was beheaded for the truth that he spoke. And Stephen, the disciple of Christ, was stoned to death for his preaching to the Jews. You know, I read something yesterday on Facebook, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but it's one of those things that made you stop and think. It was a little blurb on how the apostles died. And I stopped and read through it. And in the blurb it said that Andrew was crucified, and yet Andrew lived for 2 days on the cross. And Andrew continued to preach the gospel to them for the 2 days that he hung upon the cross. Now I don't know whether that's true or not, but if so, that's a recommendation. Truth only makes truth, only makes friends of those who love the truth. Paul said to the Christians in Galatians 4 and 16, he said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" It's dangerous for one not to love the truth and all of it. And because of this attitude, it says in Romans 1 and 25 that some have changed the truth of God into a lie. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 12, Paul said concerning others, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. When Jesus was on trial for his life before Pilate, the governor asked a poignant question in John 8:38. What's the truth? Pilate even wanted to know what the truth was. The question's answered for all in John 17:17, when Jesus in his prayer to God said, "Thy word is truth." In the Old Testament, the wise man Solomon declared in Proverbs 1:7, "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The man who does not want to be warned or taught his duty is foolish and jeopardizes his own salvation. Paul says in Hebrews 10:24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." But when this is done out of concern for souls, sometimes there are those who just get provoked, and it doesn't instill love. But Paul said to the elders of Ephesus, "I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And neither will we if we love the souls and want to see them saved." You know, the question goes back to one of the earliest questions that's in the Bible. In Genesis 4:9, when the Lord is talking to Cain, he first asks him, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And Cain answers back, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And that question is ours today. Are we our brother's keeper? And the answer is yes. It's very plain from the Holy Scriptures that yes, we are responsible for those around us. We're responsible if we do not warn and exhort people that, hey, you're on the wrong road. I mean, it's all right to be friends with all these other religious groups, but if we don't ever explain to them that, hey, I believe you're wrong. The Bible says this, and I believe this way. Now, we can do it in a nice manner, but we still need to give the warning. We need to cease not to warn night and day. The lesson's yours this afternoon. If there are those here who are subject to the gospel call this afternoon, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation, number 589.